and welcome to the latest Joshi 2010s episode. We're doing Oz Academy. I am JD for this episode 67, the Joshi 2010s journey out of the Dark Ages. And we're starting to get some feel for how the attendances are changing and what's happening within the scene at this point in time. Like I said, when we first started this, and Neo was kind of the big thing, and you could kind of tell that there was a want in the scene for new stars, just young talent, fresh talent, right? And before I go into this Oz Academy show, which is the show Get Over, this is ironic, from October 14, 2012... I went back, listened to kind of my last couple year-end episodes, Matches of the Year, Wrestler of the Year, all that, went a little kayfabe in some, and that inspired me to then go through and do a top 10 matches from each of the 2 years I've done so far, and it made me realize a couple things. If Neo and Yoshiko Tamura did not exist in 2010... that list is very barren for truly good matches and interesting matches. The other thing is, when I looked at 2011 and the missing element of Yoshiko Tamura and Neo as a whole, Wave and JWP ended up stepping up in its varying degrees. And that's when I noticed Ayumi Kurihara really started to pop up on the list even more so than she had prior. Tag matches were kind of starting to fill the gap. And I didn't have enough 4-star plus matches to really carry out a top 10. So then I started going into what I think in 2012, and there's certainly a lot more better matches in there. But I've also noticed Stardom has started to creep onto this list much more easy. In times, Ayumi Kurihara is still kind of there. Yuzuki Aikawa is there. And if we look at kind of my Wrestler of the Year rankings in the match guide, you would think Ayumi Kurihara would be kind of running away with this thing. But remember, she's kind of been scatterbrained in the freelance scene of CMLL. Companies aren't really booking her. She's not quite being made to be the top star of the scene, which I find interesting and unfortunately a waste in a lot of ways. A lot of the critique I have over Wave kind of qualifies under that, among other things. So then I got curious over the Tokyo Sports Awards and how the previous years kind of work into things. You know, Emi Sakura in 2009 was kind of an easy no-brainer pick. 2010 ended up being, I think it was Nanai Takahashi. And when I went back to 2011, even though personally I don't think she was this kind of easy slam dunk winner at all, I don't think that's the case at all. It's... When I look at this year, it's Yuzuki Aikawa and Ayumi Kurihara, and then Nanai is up there as well, with a lot of people kind of besides them, they're quite close in the rankings. It's not as far fetched as I initially thought, even by my own ranking standard. So, for example, 2010. Let me just pull that up right quick. 2010 Wrestler of the Year. It was easily Yoshiko Tamura. Then it was Kurihara, Emi Sakura, and then everybody else kind of falls behind. 2011, it was Kana and Kurihara, and then everybody else. It was not even a contest for what that era was. Now, if I'm talking biggest star of the scene, this is where I was going with this. 2012 is the Yuzuki Aikawa year. She is clearly the biggest star in the scene. Ayumi Kurihara could be. I think she's still the best wrestler in the scene going right now. Or at least it can't be Kana because she's just disappeared, essentially. She's not doing any big matches and does her manifesto and, among other things, contribute. I think so. I think they absolutely do. We're also seeing the retirements starting to come in terms of Ran Yuyu is on her retirement road. More on that in Oz Academy as we get to. The point is, the main event of this Oz Academy show is Mayumi Ozaki versus Ayumi Kurihara. And when I was researching and doing some little foreshadowing of what I wanted to do for 2012, this was a show that really stood out to me. And this is Oz Academy's opportunity to do something special with a rising and top star, much like how I criticized Wave for not really capitalizing on Shushi Batani, not utilizing quite to the extent that Misaki Iwata, Kurihara and Kana, like they have these people in there, but their booking is so strange, it's not indicative of making stars. Okay. Are they nice little indie shows? If they weren't, I really wouldn't be doing this, would I? I wouldn't be going on this journey. So in vacuum of the nice little indie shows, yeah, okay, we're all here, we're all on board. But I'm looking at a lot of this from, why isn't the scene growing? What is it missing? Why can't we get to the next step? Why aren't we? And this Oz Academy show is a huge indication over my critique of Oz Academy itself, in how this is the promotion of the time, especially with the closure of Neo, where they have the veteran star power, they have the presence in the scene, they frequently do pretty well at Shinjuku Face, among other places when they run them occasionally, and the opportunity to do something is there for them. They just don't do it. That's not how they operate. That's not how they want to operate. They want to operate in this line that they're on, and they're not going to veer from that. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with JWP, Wave, Stardom, Ice Ribbon, but Ice Ribbon's going through their post-Emi Sakura exodus. And then there's everyone else. So when I'm looking at my 2012 Wrestler of the Year and the match ratings, it's a big hodgepodge of a lot of different people on this list. So Get Over is the name of the show. Yes, it's at Shinjuku Face. The card also features a semi-main event of Ran Yuyu Aja Kong. We'll get to that match. So what did the prior year's show do for their mid-October show? They do a produce October show each year at Shinjuku Face, and this is just kind of a relative sense of what they do. Well, in 2010, they did about 290, 300 people. I've seen Cage Match doesn't have it listed. A couple other sites have it listed at a couple other estimates. And so we'll, for the sake of this podcast, we'll say it's at 300, okay? For the 2010 Oz Academy Starts show with the Kaoru Ran Yuyu versus Takako Inoue Yumi Oka main event, with Mayumi Ozaki defeating Akino in the semi-main event. And you're like, okay. There was also Manami Toyota, Dynamite Kansai on the card, Aja Kong. There was some players on this card, and they still only managed 300 people. Allegedly. Supposedly. We cut to 2011 with an Ozaki-gun versus Jungle Jack 21 main event. Matsumoto, this was her heel turn last year, with Ozaki defeating Tomoko Nakagawa and Akino. With a Chikayo Nagashima Hiren semi-main, and also had Manami Toyota, Carlos Amano, Aja Kong on the card, so very much par for the course there. That show did 396. Okay, so we're like plus 100. All right. Not sure why it did better than it did last year, but Hiroyo Matsumoto in the main event, fresh blood, kind of rising on the scene. Maybe there was some interest there. Can only speculate, right? So then we get to this Get Over show, October 14th, 2012, with an Ayumi Kurihara main event, and we're on Ryan Yuyu's retirement road. Well, surely they got like 500 at the Face, right? Maybe they could have done a little better. Well, they got 420. So they didn't really blaze it in the high-end attendance, but To be honest, it wasn't really all that hyped of a show. Did I enjoy this show? Yeah, I did. I thought it was a nice watch, and a lot of the matches got a good amount of time to them. Now, did they deliver in order to garner interest for the future shows, the Ran Yuya Retirement Show that Oz Academy is running in December, which we will be covering? And there's a couple things that build to the November show, also at Shinjuku Face. So we'll be able to go over the show, then look at what they do a month later. And if what they did worked, surely they either broke even or they did way better at Shinjuku Face in the next month. I think that's a good indication that you did a good job in garnering interest for your promotion, for people to come back to the next month. Word of mouth spreads. You can go. Okay. So Get Over begins with Ozaki-gun, Hiroya Matsumoto, Ice Ribbon Champion Mio Shirai, and Yumi Oka. Was Mio Shirai champion at this time? Hold the phone. She signs in September. I believe she wins the title. She won the title in September or October 28th. So depending, it could be shortly after this. I don't quite remember. I know that was only a couple. That was like 3 or 4 episodes ago. But regardless, Mio Shirai's in this with Yumi Oka and Hiroyo. They're taking on Carlos Simano, Manami Toyota, and Tomoko Nakayao. Went 15-33. And my bigger takeaways from this was Manami Toyota has gained some weight. She's getting real slow in that ring. And she's struggling. She looks like she's hurting out there. So this is the first time I can like truly say that Manami Toyota is on the heavy, heavy downswing. You know, she was slow before. Maybe she's banged up in this match at this point in time in the year. That's very possible. But she was not good in this match. And she had the majority of the time. She was bumping for Yumi Oka and Hiroyo especially. She was not afraid to do that. Nakagawa was a good little workhorse in the match. Amano's throwing headbutts whenever needed. Mio Shirai was a total afterthought and joke. But yet, she was a huge factor for the end of the match. So they begin with her kind of being this prop comedy character, right? And she's trying to take on two people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're pushing her back, and then it's we get to the end of the match, and she's fighting off Manami Toyota, and then I believe she ends up, Carlos Amano is going for a headbutt off the ropes for kind of a finishing blow, and Mio Shirai kind of catches her in midair and into a small package, which I thought was pretty rad, and she wins it for the team, so she gets some credibility with getting the win for the team, but a roll-up. The way she did it in an opener, I'm okay with it. It's just weird to me that with Ice Ribbon around the corner and what she's doing, maybe that wasn't even in the works. So let's not even go there. Like, we can speculate in our heads. I don't need to say much more than that. So our second match was Tsubasa Kurigaki defeating Sonoko Kato in 16 minutes, 27 seconds, and it felt every bit of it. This was a long one. Now, again, if you're coming in from, 2019, 2020, 2020, 1, 2, 3, you've seen broken knees, can't really walk, struggles to move Tsubasa Kurigaki, and it's very tough to watch. However, from what we've seen now in 2010, 11, and 12, this woman's awesome. She can still do springboards. She still very much is a power wrestler with a good explosive burst of speed. And she did a lot with Sonoko Kato here. Now, do I think Sonoko Kato is this amazing worker, great match wrestler, knows how to tell stories in the ring? No, I don't. I think she's a four-move queen kind of deal. It doesn't make for exciting matches, so Kurigaki does a lot of the heavy lifting. And she does a good job with it. Did I go 1 out of 3 on this? I believe I did. Let's see here. Yeah, I went 1 out of 3 on Kurigaki Kato. So I did enjoy this to an extent, but Kato, I really wish she would develop some sort of uniqueness to her game. She's just too basic for me. Kaoru Ito, in the early and mid 90s was very much like that as well. Just very much a one-note wrestler, and it just doesn't excite me at all. While Kurigaki, with the charisma of Burnt Toast, she is exciting to watch in the ring, at least from that perspective. So what does this mean for Tsubasa Kurigaki? She's very much protected in a lot of ways. She has a lot of credibility in the ring with her. She's JWP champion. She quickly lost it back to Hariyama. Hariyama's kind of carried that torch since. Is she being built up for a title match? Possibly. We could definitely speculate on that. And actually, while I am thinking about that, let's check the open weight title situation here from 2012. So remember, Chikayo Nagashima won this thing back in March. We're in September now. She's had a grand total of one defense since she defeated Ozaki in that 2 out of 3 falls match. So Chikayo faced off against Hiroyo Matsumoto in that 22-minute match at the Plum Memorial Show. And what does that mean? When is the next defense coming? Perhaps that is scheduled for the Ranyuya retirement show. Kurigaki certainly seems like a good case as anyone to go up against Chikayo. Well, I can tell you right now, that does not happen. It's not who you think it is. And the title will not be defended for the remainder of 2012. So in the entirety of the year, Oz Academy has their singles title defended a grand total of 2 times. The challenger in January of 2013, so not their December show, January, middle, is Mio Shirai, the one who rolled up Carlos Amano. I guess we'll have to see how that plays out with Mio Shirai in Oz Academy, but remember, she is Ice Ribbon Champion. Maybe they have other plans. Well, on this show, on the very next match, it is Chikayo Nagashima teaming with Nao Komatsu, taking on Ayumi Kurihara cosplayer Mika Ida, whom I'm really liking more and more. And she's teaming with Akino. And Akino still has her speed. Still has a lot of speed. She's in her 40s, but she still has a lot to give, much like Chikayo Nagashima, right? In the modern era here. Well, Akino and Nagashima go to blows outside, and while they're brawling, Ida quickly does a big little like European clutch on Nao Komatsu and pins her in 36 seconds. Chikayo is less than pleased, kind of slaps the shit out of Nao Komatsu and embarrasses her, like, and now is very upset with her loss. So could this mean Akino is in line for something with Nagashima, or is it simply Mika Ida got one over on the rookie, and Akino and Nagashima brawling outside is simply a means to just get this match quick and over with? I guess we'll find out in 2013, because nothing's on the docket for quite some time. It is October, so we have many months to see if this means anything. I doubt it, but then we get to our semi-main event. It's Aja Kong and Ranyuyu. They play a nice little video package over the Ranyuyu title win over Aja Kong, getting those big elbows across. And if you guys remember, it was more of a vessel with Ozaki-gun, and I believe Kaoru was involved. I know Ozaki-gun basically beat up Aja Kong for a while, and then Ranyuyu just happened to kind of take a capitalization. Well, the video package ignored all of that. None of that happened to them. So they really focused on Ranyuyu just getting the big win over Aja Kong and how much it meant. And these two went out and had a perfectly fine wrestling match for 23 minutes. Ranyuyu looked like she was going... They did a lot of repeat spots from that match, I noticed. especially the near falls with the big elbows. And then when we get to the finish, Ranyu, you kind of bounces off the ropes, goes for the big spinning forearm again, and Aja Kong hits her with, I can best describe as a Judas effect, except with the hurricane, but it really went into her elbow. And pinned her. Match clearly meant a lot to both people. And, you know, Aja Kong got her win back, but I don't kind of see it that way in this case. It was certainly a match probably that meant more to the wrestlers than the fans, and you got another good singles match out of these two. Is there someone, Ranyu, you can kind of put over at this time? Sure, you can make that argument. However, between, like, the thing about Ranyu Yu and Toshi Yamatsu is they've kind of put over everyone they possibly could at this point. And they're on, they've had their retirement road. I'd be more interested in them as a tag team and how they put someone over, but nobody in the scene did that. Certainly didn't get anything with Catch the Wave or the Dual Shock Wave or the JWP tag titles. Everyone just kind of utilized them to have one final gold watch run with it. It's not the worst idea in the world, because honestly, the scene doesn't really have anyone to put over other than like an Ayumi Kurihara, Misaki Iwata and company, right? I went 1 out of 3 on the match. I think it lacked a lot of the dramatic elements to make this match feel bigger and better. But they certainly tried, and Aja Kong still has a lot left to give at this point in 2012. So then we get to our main event. They play a big package with Ayumi Kurihara. She's a beaten and bloody mess to all of Ozaki-gun. So you'd think, okay, what do we know about Oz Academy and Ozaki and the crew? You got Saki Asagawa as Blizzard Yuki with the whip on the outside. You got police. You got possibly Hiroyo and Chikayo Nagashima in the works. Yumi Oka, Mio Shirai. You have a crew that's going to be there to play interference. So surely Ayumi Kurihara has a crew of her own, right? She's amassed a great deal of people, like maybe Aja Kong or Akino, Miki Ida especially. Sanako Kato is, you know, all part of this team. Carlos Amano. These are all people that are anti-Ozaki-gun, right? So what ends up happening is, let me put it this way. When Ozaki wants to get heat, it'll be her and the Goon Squad brawling on the outside, mostly the Goon Squad doing the brawling, throwing Kurihara and company into chairs and the like. There'll be whips, there'll be chains, and Ozaki will play the big heel in the middle of the ring. Okay. Does it make for an exciting match? Well, you got to build up to it. Does it make for heat? Sure, because you see just a pack of hyenas against one person. But in the kayfabe of this promotion, it really, even still, it doesn't make sense, right? Because if you're being booked on, think of it this way. Think of it like Fight Club, but Durden and his crew can always beat up on you who join Fight Club, but you cannot have friends there. Or if your friends get involved, it's still going to be like 20 people against 2. You know, the ratio doesn't work out. But at least you'd have like some sort of friends and fighting chances. What happens for basically the entirety of the 15 minutes that this match goes? It's Ozaki's goons constantly interfering, getting in the ring involved, pulling Kurihara to the outside, throwing her in chairs, or Kurihara gets busted open, she's bleeding, and occasionally Akino would get in the ring and try to fend off people, right? I don't think Miki Ida was there. There certainly was no Carlos Amano. But boy, did you have all of Ozaki's crew out there. Every single one of them. Chikao Nagashima gets involved a lot. The champion of the promotion. And even at there was even a couple instances where Akino and Nagashima were straight up having a match in the middle of this match. And yes, of course, occasionally, like, Police would fuck up. He'd throw a chair, hit Ozaki, and then Kurihara would get some moves off. Big dropkick on the bottom rope, maybe a suplex. But in terms of getting near falls on Ozaki, they never happened. There was always either the pin would never come, or Blizzard Yuki or somebody would just get in the ring and interfere, and the ref just watches on. Because it's Oz Academy. That's just how they operate. So, we're having mini-matches with people not involved in the match. We're having Ozaki just pummel this poor woman bloody and battered and beaten. And it's all devising a way for Kurihara to get a lot of sympathy, and you really are supposed to care that she's getting some sort of offense back, and Ozaki gets her comeuppance. The issue is, the interference is so preposterous that unless you're there live, you're just watching just absurdity unfold. So the match never makes any sense. It never gets any heat, but the crowd loves it. And it really always makes me reminisce to what happens with an Ozaki match in which she wants to quote-unquote put someone over, or if she goes over, generally what is the best way she can. And we've seen excuse me. We've seen Ozaki now lose to Kaoru in the last Women's Standing match, which was excellent, but there was a lot of plunder. There was equality on both sides, fighting against Ozaki and the goon, right? And you end up getting the big winner in the end, the babyface. Cut to 2020, 2023, where Ozaki was against Sauriano and Mio Momono, where the crew was simply kind of not even there. And Ozaki leaves both these people bloody. The other person barely gets any offense on. And in the terms of both those matches, Ozaki simply wins, pins him clean as a sheet, clean as in all sense of the Oz word, right? And makes Ozaki just look so much stronger and above a different level. So in Ozaki's mind, kayfabe or not, if she thinks you're a threat, she will have the goon squad hyena pack you all the way to hell and back for you to try to get a win. Okay? So if we look at it in that sense, okay, Kurihara is seen as a threat in Ozaki. Can you get into the match then? Well, my answer is, if this led to something like the Kaoru match, where Kurihara was built up as some defining figure in Oz Academy, and she was the threat to Ozaki and the crew, and was gunning for the title in Chikayo Nagashima, all for it, right? Well, we've already established that Chikayo Nagashima has no intention of defending this title. So, what does this match mean for Ozaki? How does this compare to the Kaoru feud from a couple years ago? Look, it doesn't. Because none of those same beats are there. Kurihara is treated like this just dork the majority of the time until the very end. And I'm talking very end, like the last 30 seconds. It was all built up for Aja Kong to hit this ring, hits an Uriken and shoves Police out of the way. Akino had already taken care of Nagashima to the outside, right? Kong Uriken's Ozaki, and then Kurihara leaps to her feet, gets the big quebrada roll on Ozaki, and rolls her up for three. And they treat it as a big thing. So, if you're thinking, oh, so this was all about Aja Kong to save the day and defeat Ozaki Goon herself, and Kurihara was simply a vessel for other players. So the main event was a total sham for any sort of Ayumi Kurihara highlight, focus, or push. Okay. So that means it's all about Aja Kong and Akino. And they do an angle with the three of them, which is going to lead to a match. They establish that. Big promo at the end of the show. So you're like, okay, the big main event of the November show will surely be Ozaki, Nagashima, and, I don't know, Mio Shirai, Hiroya Matsumoto, Yumioka, one of these three players? No, it is against Nao Komatsu in that match, and no, it is not the main event. So let's cut to Elbow Smash, November 11th. Mio Shirai defeats Sari in the opener. Tomoka Nakagawa defeats the injured Manami Toyota in a 16-minute match. And in the mid-card, the third match of five, surely Kurihara, Kong, and Akino win the match, and we're starting to build up something for a Nagashima title defense, right? Wrong. Ozaki and crew get their win back in a 21-minute trios match with copious interference yet again. Semi-main event, Oka and Matsumoto defeat Kato and Kuribagaki, so Kuribagaki, that win's just gone. So her and Kato have that singles match. 18-minute loss now. And then in the main event, it's Ran Yuyu Retirement Road. She goes to a 30-minute draw with Carlos Amano, who just got rolled up to Mio Shirai in the last show. 30-minute draw. That one was okay. Yeah, the Amano-Ran Yuyu match was just all right. I can't, like, crazily recommend it. It's kind of par for the course with Ran Yuyu matches. I went 1 out of 3 on that one as well. So everything that they did for this particular show, get over, accomplished getting nobody over. Incredible. It's truly incredible what this promotion is able to, well, not do, essentially. And if you're wondering what that November show did, attendance-wise, they got 403 people, so down from the previous month, from Get Over. So our next Oz Academy show we will be doing is the December 9th show, which is the last show from Oz Academy in 2012. It's the Ran Yuyu Retirement Show at Korakuen Hall. And that's going to be a main event and a semi-main involving Ozaki, Dynamite Kansai, Carlos Amano. So we're gonna get some interesting things there. We will compare Oz Academy to past Korakuen Hall shows. They do have another November show in Osaka. I was not able to confirm an attendance for that one, but it kind of doesn't matter. It's in a different city. It's not in Tokyo. They book their own little universe for those shows, but I believe that's how Ran Yuyu and Carlos Amano continue with the 30 minutes and teaming up and one last time since Toshiyamatsu's no longer around. So Amano is going to play that role for the remainder of the year with Ran Yuyu. And that's Oz Academy. A very disappointing main event in which the point of Get Over got no one over. The next show we will be doing is a JWP show, Pure Wars series. It is a pretty well-known match in terms of it's Kaori Yoneyama going for the JWP title again, considering her not retirement and how much she had to earn back trust and merit for the promotion and within Command Bolshoi and Leon and company. And from there, we will be doing a lot of JWP. I'm not sure if we're going to go through with the Wave kind of quarter four show, where it's a hodgepodge of matches for Wave for the rest of the year, especially when there's still the Reina joint show we could do instead. I'm going to take a second look at what this compilation DVD is for Wave, and that will take it through October through December. Otherwise, Wave-wise, we'll just stick with the Reyna show combo. But honestly, we're looking at a couple Stardom shows. I don't think I'll be able to find the LOPWX show from 2012 at all. I don't think it exists. I don't think it ever made tape. But we'll do Ribbon Mania. We'll do and we'll be doing a lot of JWP at the very least, and a couple Stardom shows. We're getting near the end of 2012 here. I'm pretty excited because 2013 is looking like a very important year in which we're going to start seeing a lot of new talent and development, and I think you'll start seeing some interesting pushes and newcomers on the scene. Remember, if you're listening on the AJW Destiny feed on delay, please consider subscribing to the Patreon, patreon.com/redleafretrocast, all one word. Joshi 2010's year with Curry Har on it. That's how you can support this podcast. That's how we get the DVDs. You can get into the Google Drive that I maintain a lot of these DVDs. Essentially, the Patreon funds the maintenance of the Google Drive, and me doing the Pure J podcast with JPQ, in which we have to purchase the Cork and Hull shows. Finally got them coming. By all accounts, they are on their way, all three of them from the past year, and the LLPW show. Nobody covers Joshi, history, professional wrestling, quite like I do. See you next time.